Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us on this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. The song you just heard is off my album titled Favorites. There are 20 songs on that album, and here are some of the songs. Peace Speaker, Well Done My Child, Satisfied, My Lord and I, Yes I Know, If He Hung the Moon, Wilt Thou Be Made Whole, God on the Mountain, Beulah Land, What Will You Do for Jesus, just to name a few on that album. And if you'd like your own personal copy on CD, I'll be glad to send it to you. Would you write to me and request it? And if you can, enclose a gift for the radio ministry. It'll mean so much. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Again, the address, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Please pray for me as I'm involved in revival meetings in the month of March and April. March 15 to 17, Fayetteville, North Carolina, at the Wesleyan Church, and March 22 to 24, Buffalo, Kentucky, Church of the Nazarene. Then for our friends who listen to us on WPET in Greensboro, North Carolina, you can come to our revival meeting at Holly Hill Wesleyan Church in Thomasville, North Carolina, April 5 to 7. And then April 12 to 14, Sunman, Indiana, at the Southern Baptist Church. And then April 21 to 24, Portsmouth, Ohio, at the Church of Christ and Christian Union Church there. I hope you'll pray for us. It'll mean so very, very much. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. I pray the message on holiness would continue to challenge us in these days, because your word tells us without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So I pray the message will find lodging in the hearts and minds of the listener. Thank you for those who support us and help us out from month to month. I pray that you'd raise up new supporters to take the place of those who are now in your presence, Jesus. I pray that in your precious name. Bless this radio station, the churches as they'll gather. Bless those who have special needs today. Be with them, especially those who are sick and shut in. This might be the only church they'll have this weekend. I ask it all in the marvelous, wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. As you listen to the song and then the continuation of the sermon preached last month in Spencer, Indiana, titled Holiness.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garment and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, He gave His life for mine.
What does that matter? God's name being a verb of being and my name being a noun. Well, you see, what that means is that God presents Himself as an ever-present reality. He is never I was. He is never I will be. Or I might be. He's not partial. He says I am. I am who I am. You see, when we receive God into our lives, young people, adults, when we receive God into our lives, we don't get an incremental part. We don't get just a little bit of God. We don't just add a bit of God to our lives and go on living our lives, because God is not like that. God is holy, and you never add a little bit of God to your life. Do you understand who we have on our hands? We see this definition of the I am, the God who is I am. You actually see it in Jesus Christ. We all know Jesus. We know Him in the New Testament. You realize that He is the personification of what God is telling Moses here when He says, you tell them that I am has sent you to them. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Jesus said in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. John chapter 10, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the good shepherd, John 10. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, you tell them my name is I am. I am a verb of being. I am who I am. He is not only I am, He is holy. He is holy. Preacher was driving through a town on his way to a preaching engagement. And he came to the intersection of this little backwater town and had to wait on his time to get through the intersection. And while he was sitting there waiting on his turn to get through the intersection, he noticed a sign just right there on the corner on a homemade pole. Sign was homemade. And the sign said this, Holy Ghost Revival. And then there was an arrow pointing down the side street. And the preacher was amused at how they spelled one of the words on the sign. Holy was spelled H-O-L-E-Y. Holy. I think one of the greatest problems we have in our Christian environment today is that we have allowed people to drill holes in our theology regarding God. And we don't have the right conception of God. He says, I am holy, H-O-L-Y. And holy means lacking nothing. And you see, there is nothing that you can add to God to make Him more holy than He already is. And there is nothing intrinsically in His nature that, if removed, would make God a more holy God. Now think when I ask you this question. Don't respond off the cuff. Don't respond with a knee-jerk reaction. But let me ask you, can God do anything? No, He can't. You know why I say He can't do anything? Because He can't sin. He can't lie. He can't do anything that goes against His nature. And He is a holy God. God is always I am. And He is always holy. I am amazed at the consistency of God. Aren't you glad that God is not a moody God? I'm glad that when I come to Him with a burden, something I've done that I know I should not have done, I approach the throne of grace and I bend my knee before Him and I confess whatever it might be, and by faith I believe that He will hear my prayer and He will respond and He will take care of that need in my life. Aren't you glad that when I come back to Him sometime later and I bring another problem, another need, another failure to Him, and aren't you glad that He doesn't look at you and look at me and say, "You again? Aren't you glad He doesn't do that? He doesn't get tired of us coming to Him. He is I Am, and He is holy, and He is love." John explains it in one simple statement. He says, "God is love, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love, John says, "and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." You see, no variable, hear it, no variable in you changes God's demonstrated love for you. God loves us because of who He is, not because of who I am. God loves us because of who He is, not because of what I might do to get Him to love me. I used to think, I grew up in a very conservative environment, and I can remember it was just hammered into us, you've got to read your Bible more. And I believe in reading the Bible. We ought to read our Bible. We ought to consume and digest the Word of God. Oh, they'd say, "You got to pray more. If you pray more, God will love you more." And I know we need to pray. We need to be adamant about how much we pray. And then we'll say, "Well, we got to witness more. If you want God to love you, then you've got to be a better witness than what you are." And I believe we ought to witness. But that's not the catalyst that causes God to love me. He loves me because He is love. And He just loves me. He is I Am. He is holy. And He is love. The explanation of God's holiness. But that brings us to the expectation of God's holiness. And go to that passage in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. A time later, after the Israelites were delivered from Egyptian bondage, then God speaks through the law and He speaks through Moses to get the attention of the people of Israel. Because you see, God knew that He not only had to get Israel out of Egypt, He had to get Egypt out of Israel. They'd been there 430 years. And He had to get all the influences of Egypt out of the hearts and the minds of the Israelite people. So He says to them in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly." That's everybody. "Speak to the entire assembly and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" And in Exodus chapter 20, we find that the training of the Israelites began when they cross through the Red Sea and make their way into the wilderness. Laws are given and are to be implemented into their lives. And then God says to Moses, "You tell them, I'm expecting them to live, to be holy, because I am a holy God." Now wait a minute, God. It's one thing to realize we serve a God who is I Am, a God who is holy, and a God who is love, but then to be told by that same God that I am to be holy because He is holy, that seems a bit unfair. Because you're God, I'm human. Can I really be holy because God is holy? Is that a fair expectation? There are two ways to view this. I can remember my elementary school teachers. I can remember my first grade teacher. Her name was Miss Mathers. My second grade teacher's name was Miss Scott. Third grade teacher's name was Miss Drain. Fourth grade teacher's name was Miss Hood. Fifth grade teacher's name was Miss Holt. Sixth grade teacher's name was Miss Trotter. We moved to Salisbury, North Carolina after my third grade year. I was a new kid on the block. I was going to attend A.T. Allen Elementary School. There were two fourth grade teachers. I didn't have the option to choose which one I wanted because the friends that I'd made upon my arrival in Salisbury told me, "You don't want Mrs. Hood. She's hard. She's mean. You don't want her." But I didn't have any options. Her class was full, or the other teacher's class was full, so I had to go into Ms. Hood's class. She would better be known as Sergeant Hood, because she ran her class like a drill sergeant. I don't think I ever saw the woman smile the whole year. It was by the book. Man, if you didn't line up, if you didn't do it the way she wanted you to do it, you might end up staying after school. And that was anathema for a fourth grader, to stay after school, get into my playtime with my friends. But sometimes I remember having to stay after school because I didn't do the work just the way Ms. Hood wanted me to do the work. I didn't do the memory of the poem that I was supposed to memorize. I didn't get it down the way I was supposed to. So I had to stay after school, and I had to do the work. I made up my mind, not too far into my fourth grade year, I'm going to work just hard enough to get out of this class. I'm not going to try to excel. I'm just going to try to pass. I don't want Ms. Hood again. With my luck, I'd be back in her class again if I had to repeat the fourth grade. I made it out of the fourth grade. Went into the fifth grade. Ms. Holt was a nice lady. I made it through the fifth grade all right. And then I got to the sixth grade. And I remember that day I walked into the class of Miss Martha Trotter. I remember when I came up the stairs, I can see them in my mind now, came up the stairs and got to that first classroom on the right. And I turned the corner into that classroom, and there she sat. She was sitting up on her desk, her legs crossed, and she turned and looked at me, and a smile broke out across her face that immediately captured me. She said, "Welcome to my class." I saw that smile. I was smitten. From the get-go, I was smitten by Miss Robert. She was wonderful. She took an interest in me. She took an interest in everybody in that class. I didn't want to sit on the back row. I wanted the front row desk. I wanted to be close to Miss Trotter. She would read to us afternoon. Every afternoon she would take a book from the library and she'd begin to read that book. And we would sit there with bated breath, waiting for the next word, the next chapter. She'd finish a chapter and we'd say, "Oh, Miss Trotter, don't stop now, don't stop. Oh, we'll have to wait till tomorrow for the next chapter class." And she'd close the book and then dismiss the class. I couldn't hardly wait to get to school. I kind of hoped she would keep me after school. I just loved her that much. She was an amazing lady. She was a remarkable, remarkable teacher. Sixth grade came to an end all too soon for me. I wish I could have taken her to the seventh grade or to the eighth grade. I wish she could be my teacher for the rest of my classes in junior high school. When I did get out of high school, I would go back to A.T. Allen School, and I can remember climbing those stairs, and I'd come to the door, that first door on the right, second level of that elementary school, and I'd stand there at the door, and I'd look in there, and there's Miss Trotter sitting on the edge of her desk teaching those sixth graders. I'm now in college. And she would turn and see me. And she'd say, "Well, hi, Lane. Come in, let me introduce you to my class." And she'd say something like this: "This is Lane Loman. He's studying for the ministry. And he was in my class when he was your age." And she would just make over me. I'd call her on the phone from time to time. "How are you, Miss Trotter? Just want to check and see how you're doing." "I'm fine, Lane. How are you doing?" "I'm doing well." I would send her copies of my song albums. I lost touch with her in the late 90s. 2017, I was in a revival meeting in Salisbury, near Salisbury, North Carolina. And it dawned on me one day, I wonder if Miss Trotter's alive. Certainly not. After all these years, she's probably not, but I'm going to find out. Had some time that afternoon. I got in my car and I went to the last elementary school where she had taught. And I walked into that elementary school. It was Henderson Elementary School. And they had a plexiglass around the desk and all these security measures. And I said, "I'm looking for a Miss Martha Trotter. I know she taught here. Do you have any record of her?" "No, we don't keep those kind of records here. You might go down to the school board building down the street." I went down to the school board building. I walked in again, the plexiglass around the receptionist desk. And there was a lady sitting on the other side. I said, "I'm looking for a Miss Martha Trotter. Would you have any record as to where she might be? Or if she's still, we don't keep those records here. You might go down to the city offices." And so I drove down to the city offices. And I walked into that office room that afternoon. It was a long desk across the width of that office room. And a lady saw me come in, And she approached the back side of that desk, and I walked up to her. She said, "Sir, can I help you?" I said, "I've got a bit of a strange request. I'm looking for my sixth grade teacher." She said, "Oh, isn't that the nicest thing? What's her name?" "Martha Trotter." I said, "I know you have the HIPAA rules and all of that, and there's only so much information you can give out." She said, "Just a minute." She went over to her computer and she began to key the keyboard. And she said, "I find three Trotters here." Gave me the names of the first two. It happened to be Miss Trotter's mother and father. And then she said, "Here she is. She died in 2002. Thank you." I got in my car and I drove across the city of Salisbury, North Carolina, to the funeral home that handled my mother and father's funeral arrangements. And I walked in, I said, "Could you help me out? Did you happen to have Martha Trotter's funeral service?" "No, we didn't have it." I said, "Well, is there any way you can look up where she might be buried?" "We can do that." And they looked it up. She's buried in the cemetery just across the road. Told me the location. I drove over there and I walked down those rows of markers and I finally found it. Took a picture of Martha Trotter. Died at the age of 81 in 2002. She made me want to learn. She made me want to do well. And that's the way it is with our God.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.